tonight. Let's see whose road gets there faster. Here I am hiding in plain sight. If you're not careful, you will lose her. You and I, we're not that different. You and I, you and I, we're not that different. You and I, you and I, we're not that different. You and I.
David Byrne from the band Talking Heads. You're listening to WCBN FM Ann Arbor, 88.3 FM on your radio dial. Stay tuned to this station.
Good afternoon. You've got Living Writers on WCBN FM Ann Arbor. I'm T. Hetzel, and I'm so happy to have John here in the studio with me, John Ganyard from Literati Bookstore and poet.
Yes, sort of.
Poet.
Lapsed poet, maybe.
Collapsed.
Lapsed.
Oh, lapsed, okay.
No, not collapsed.
Hopefully it
totally
wasn't
upright.
Okay.
But,
that's right.
But maybe lapsed in practice, yes.
Ah, well, you know what? Can we? We're going to circle back to that.
Yeah, we are. We're,
yeah,
we're
going to. If that sounds
yeah,
that's okay.
Fine.
Uh-huh. But thanks for coming down to the station today and for camping out here in the FM studio with me. We've got a little change of venue, mixing it up, having some fun on an icy afternoon in January.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know why I'm not totally bitter about it, but it seems, I mean, it's winter, right?
It was weird. It's a weird version of winter. Yeah, it's not a normal version of winter, that's for sure.
Yeah, like why the rain suddenly?
Yeah.
But so, Literati Bookstore on Washington Street, one of our dear neighbors here at the station. And today you're going to talk about Literati, like what some upcoming events that we have, like some winter book picks, maybe some things, books to look forward to. And we get to hear a little bit about who you are and your role at Literati Bookstore and life champion.
Yeah.
Champion of life, John Ganyard.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so, and because Hillary and Mike are at a
They're currently at a really great conference called Winter Institute that's currently this year taking place in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so, yeah, they are spreading the good news of our bookstore there. Winter Institute's a really amazing opportunity for members of our trade organization, the American Booksellers Association, to have time with publishers. So the conference is really geared towards booksellers and bookstores, independent bookstores in particular, and publishers. So it's an opportunity to meet authors, to talk best practices with fellow booksellers and peer bookstores, and also kind of do a lot of great like back and forth. And there are these wonderful breakout sessions where publishers sort of are listening to the needs of booksellers, which is great. It's a reminder that publishers think of booksellers and bookstores as kind of a vanguard between for their works entering the reading public, it's really wonderful to have those opportunities to see them again. And also a lot of indie publishers are present at that conference as well. And Yeah, they're living it up there right now in warm Albuquerque.
Yeah, Mike and Hillary, the co-owners, founders of Literati Bookstore, back in 2013.
Yeah, April of 2013 officially is when we opened, so it'll be 6 years in April. Yeah,
great.
Time flies.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so how did you find your way to Literati? What's your story?
So I moved back to Ann Arbor in 2010 to begin the MFA program at what is now called the Helen Zell Writers Program at the University of Michigan in poetry. And finished my fellowship year, so the sort of third year of the program was finishing up in 2013 in the spring. And I was thinking about, or not thinking about, what I was going to do, having come to grad school straight out of undergrad and into a area that's not exactly like, it's vocational, but it's not vocational in the sense of like you're stepping out into job prospects. So I thought,
'cause you came here for poems.
Yeah,
and poetry.
I came here to write, and then I hadn't really thought about what was going to happen after that, as those things go. But a friend of mine who is in the PhD program here in English pointed out to me this Facebook post and said there's this bookstore opening in Ann Arbor, and I was like, oh, I could do that. I would work part time at a bookstore, and then figure out what I was going to do. And so I thought I was going to be something that I'd do if I got the job, you know, for a little while, and then figure out what else I'd do. And
then it started growing.
Yeah,
the bookstore and
really fast. And so the thing that I always say is that Mike and Hillary were doing everything involved in running a brick and mortar bookstore, which is like not just frontless ordering of new titles and ordering our backlist and doing payroll and scheduling and marketing and social media, but they're also running all of our events and other like marketing initiatives. And it was really like bogging them down. And I don't think that they were necessarily comfortable with the public speaking aspect of it. And so I think one day I just kind of wandered in the office thinking about how I needed to have a full-time job. And also like their struggles of really growing really fast because the community reception was so strong. And so I just sort of was like, I can talk in front of people.
So did you create your own job, John?
Well, I just said, do you want me to run events? Because it seems like it's a burden, and it shouldn't be a burden because it's something that you want to focus on, but you've got so many other things to focus on. And they were really committed to that. Was part of their vision when opening the stores, that it would be in an event space, and that
that's something for the community, right? It's
yes.
about making it a space, a place.
Yeah, third space, which is a term that they use a lot and is a useful term. And also they wanted to connect to the legacy of the stores that I never got to experience when I moved to Ann Arbor, because when I moved here, Borders was starting its liquidation process. And Shamandrum had closed before I'd moved here. So I grew up in Ann Arbor. I lived here until I was 9, but my experience of Ann Arbor was like going to Little Professors, which is now Nicola's, and like trying to like thieve books out of there on our way to Kroger. They wanted to connect to this legacy of Ann Arbor bookstores and Ann Arbor bookstore culture, which included events. And following that vision, I wanted to connect to some of the stuff that Ray McDaniel, who I'm sure you know quite well.
Yes, and friend of the show.
Friend of the show and great poet.
Pal of the podcast.
Yes. He was the events person at Shaman for a long time and was legendary for these introductions and for making these events very special. And so I sat down with him when this thing went from me hosting these events part-time to Mike and Hillary saying, okay, we want you to do this full-time for us, and we've wanted to hire an events coordinator, and we'll hire you to do that. I'm now the events manager, and we have an additional events coordinator because we have so much volume that need two people to do it, if not more.
And that's Matt?
That's my colleague, Matt, who's our event coordinator. Matt Flores, who was working at Book People in Austin, another great bookstore, for a long time. But what I pitched to them too, in sort of hinging this into a full-time job, was that I wanted to follow that legacy that Ray had. So part of the thing we do with our events most of the time is we give them introductions. So we're introducing these authors to our public in a way that pushes beyond just sort of like reading the back of the dust jacket and their bio, and kind of coldly bringing them in front of people. And so that was important too. And that's also part of the aspect of having it be a community focused endeavor, is that you engage the community and you make those personal connections between the book and the reading public, and the introductions that we write. Matt writes them, whoever's hosting an event will write them, are intended to kind of, even if we're just sort of collecting really interesting reviews we've received of this book or whatever, that we're making it personal.
Yeah, it's filtered through you or through Matt or whoever the host of the evening this event is. And that's one of the ways that it's making it's a place of its own, this community space. Let's take a short break, and then when we come back, let's hear about some of these upcoming events.
Oh, sure, yes.
Today
absolutely.
On the program, John Ganyard is here from Literati Bookstore. I'm T. Hetzel. We've got Steph Engineering. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back.
When we just can't speak and relate their needs, I make fun of skins laying in a dark room. In a piglet's eye, if the dream had wings, then the nest of feathers would freeze without them. I never learned how to fear correctly. When we were seven, we were hit directly by some misgiving that you dealt inevitably. I was forgiven when you knelt to help me. See the boy of smiles with the teardrop shape, shuddering and crying. Kids just stare. Is the sky for real?
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, so glad you did. You've got Living Writers. I'm T. Hetzel. Today on the program, John Ganyard is here from Literati Bookstore, just a few blocks away.
Yeah.
John, thanks for choosing the songs for today's show.
That was a lot of fun.
What about this song? What did we just hear?
Yeah, that was the Posies. The song's called, I forget the name of the song now. I think that one was When Mute Tongues Can Speak, from the album Frosting on the Beater, which I think came out in like 93 or something. But the song, it's just like a great power pop song with a good hook, and it also just weirdly reminds me of like growing up in Ann Arbor, like as a little kid, and like that's the kind of music you'd hear on WCBN probably when you tuned in then. That would be like, you know, cutting edge at the time, maybe. Reminds me of just like, yeah, being, my mom used to work at the University of Michigan Museum of Art as a volunteer coordinator, and spent a lot of time down here, and going to like Dave's Comics, which I think is where it was above where near where Wazoo is, I think, on the corner of maybe like Annan State or something, like, or Williams and State.
Dave's Comics.
Okay. Yeah. There's a video of it on YouTube. You can find it if you just YouTube Dave's Comics Ann Arbor. But some reason, like, I hear a good power pop song like the Posies, and I just think of being like, maybe it's a very over nostalgic romanticization of my childhood, but it's like, yeah, it's also just a great song.
And the streets of Ann Arbor, and then you left for undergrad.
I lived here. My parents moved to Iowa, or my family moved to Iowa when I was like 9 or 10. So I grew up.
Oh, right.
I grew up in Iowa City. But I just did this big circuit of the Midwest, basically. I went to undergrad in St. Louis, and when I went to undergrad, my parents moved to Wisconsin, where they are now, and so and then I came back here right after undergrad.
So when you were a kid, like walking around at 8 years old here on the streets of Ann Arbor, were you already like writing stuff down?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe I was already like, I also think about, my mom had a friend who ran Borders like magazine. They had like a cool, like a, just like a magazine. And they had me and a classmate at Abbott Elementary, were asked to like do music and, cause you know, Borders is books and music. So it was like, we had like a couple book picks and a couple music picks and maybe
it's like your own column.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's like also precursor of like rushed things to come where I think I just like picked a random Animorphs book off the shelf and was like, this is the book.
This is the one.
So my reading habits then were kind of hurried and maybe not always like, you know, good, as others. And I think that carries through to today where I'm like, was trying to think of books I wanted to talk to you today about and was like,
yes.
Thin reading, a like current thin shelf of reading, but yeah.
Yeah, but the shelves at Literati are bursting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. We're running out of room for the books that we want to carry. Yeah. Yeah.
And so what are some of, like, either do you want to start with books or do you want to talk about some events first? Because as the event manager,
yeah,
maybe you want to talk
about events
first.
I'd be thrilled
first.
To talk about events. We've okay. got a lot of great stuff coming up in February. Last night we had that ugly ice storm, so we rescheduled our event with David Stephen Colon to February 5th. And if you're a Bukowski reader and enjoy the poetry of the late Charles Bukowski or his ephemera, the book that David edited, which is called Mathematics of the Breath and the Way, is a collection of his previously unpublished work. And it's a lot of sort of ephemera, like there's collected interviews and reviews that he wrote, sort of that kind of material that can help, you know, fill in one's gaps of their love of that poet. So that we've rescheduled to February 5th. On the 8th, we are doing our second installment of hosting the J. Edgar Edwards Reading Series, which is the first years of the Zell MFA program. So first-year writers in prose and poetry will be in our store. It's very exciting. It's a chance for people to hear emerging voices, folks who may not be published yet but will very shortly be published. And then on the 11th, the following Monday, we are hosting Elemental, a panel of creative nonfiction focused around the book Elemental, a collection of creative nonfiction, Michigan creative nonfiction, edited by Emery Uman and from Wayne State University Press, who are incredible and do so much great work and have published so many of my friends and dear ones. And so that's going to be a panel discussion about that. And so if you're a fan of creative nonfiction, especially writing about Michigan, that's going to be a really, really fun
Who's
event.
On the panel?
I think we're still populating it. Okay. I know Amory's the editor and she'll definitely be on it. And if, you know, I wonder if Keith has a...
Maybe Keith
If Keith Taylor has a piece in there, I imagine he'd be in there too. I know Jerry Dennis, I think, has some work in there and he's been in the store before. So... yeah, well, it'll be...
Well, stay tuned.
Yeah,
stay
it'll be
tuned
good.
For
and
the panel
it'll,
members.
We'll fill out that Facebook event with who's coming, but you'll know it's going to be good if it's a Wayne State book. And then we also have, if you've got teen readers or if you're into the genre itself, we've got three young adult events this month, which is exciting. We've really been trying to include more young adult fiction in our Fiction at Literati lineup.
Are you collaborating with Neutral Zone at all?
No, we do have a collaboration with them in April, which I'll mention. But these we are just doing through our normal relationships with publishers. But I'll just go through them really quick to not take up too much time. They're on the 7th, the 20th. And the 22nd. And they're all three different flavors of young adult fiction. So I would really encourage folks who have been wanting to have more of those events or wanting to bring their young readers or encourage their young readers to push them out the door to head downtown to check out those events in February. And then we've got two other really great Fiction at Literati events with Maurice Meyer, a short story author, on the 19th. And Anissa Gray has a really much anticipated debut on the 25th. And then peeking into spring on March 1st, we've got Anne Leckie, who is the Hugo and Nebula award-winning author of Ancillary Justice, and it's two follow-ups. She's got a new fantasy novel, but one thing we've done in recent years is expand our sci-fi fantasy section because it's selling so well, and so we want to mirror the success of that little corner of the store with more events. And so, and Lecky's kind of like a marquee author to get in store. So we're really excited about that. But of our interests too, I wanted to sort of preview our Poetry Month in April. And we're going to be, I think, talking about poetry in a little bit. But we've got the partnership with the Neutral Zone on April 8th, with the Youth Poet Laureate.
Great.
So that's going to be Ann Arbor's Youth Poet Laureate. So that's going to be really exciting.
Is the person announced already?
I think so. I don't, maybe I'm, if I'm not supposed to, like maybe I, this is my own cloudy mind. So
okay.
Don't remember who it is and don't know if I'm jumping the gun by announcing
okay.
it. I think it probably was determined last year, but
how great that there is a youth poet.
Yeah,
poet
it's amazing. I mean, if you are unfamiliar with Neutral Zone, I'm sure you've done stuff with Neutral Zone authors or
this coming March. We
great.
Will. Cause
yeah.
they're doing, an event where everyone's reading Citizen by
yeah.
Claudia mm-hmm. Rankine.
They're a hotbed of great future poets and current poets. On the 19th of April, we're doing an event with Keith Taylor and some friends.
Has so many friends.
He does. And it's always a great event with Keith.
Keith is
always like, you're tired of having me in the store. And I
come once a month, Keith.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's how we feel on Living Writers. Keith,
right.
come on by.
Yeah, he should have a monthly spot. Many places in town.
But he wants a life of his own.
No,
Keith.
He's not allowed to have one. He's right. not allowed to retire.
Keith, it's too cold to canoe. Come on in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially. Yeah, yeah. It's just going to be icy. And then rounding it out on the 29th, we're really excited to have, 29th of April, we're excited to have Carolyn Forche, the Detroit-based poet, reading in the store, which has been, if you would have asked back in 2013, who are some of the writers we'd want to get? I probably would have mentioned Carolyn Forche. So, that's a peek at our in-store events through the next few months.
Yeah, thanks. That sounds like an exciting group. How do you map these out?
Matt's doing the lion's share of our in-store event coordinating, and that's his role is to sort of master that calendar and fill in gaps and make sure everything clicks and that we very smoothly do.
You have something pretty much every night.
Yeah, we do 130 in-store events a year. That's not including our book club. So with our book clubs, it's probably...
Tell us a bit. We've got a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Could you tell us about the book club?
Yeah, we do...
the multiple book clubs.
At least three a month, and there are some that are every other month, and there are some that kind of come and go. But the three mainstays are our Literati Book Club, which Matt runs... and chooses the books for, and that's just going to be sort of selected from. So these are all like discussion groups, essentially. They're like any book club you'd have with your friends or people in your neighborhood. And we have a book every month that's 15% off in the store, and then we meet in the store on a designated day, usually in the last week of the month, to discuss it. So Matt does the main Literati Book Club, which chooses books from. Whether it's like topical nonfiction or sort of kind of big tent-poled fiction, you know, like the biggest hit of the recent month, or something a bit more off the radar, we'll do a selection of stuff. And then we have a feminist book club, which chooses fiction and nonfiction, and poetry, I think, sometimes too. But is approached through a feminist perspective. And we also have the Poetry Book Club, which my colleague Bennett runs. And that's, as expected, a new collection of poetry and sometimes anthologies every month as well. And we also have a book club that meets. Allison Swan, the poet, Ann Arbor local, runs that, and it's really wonderful as well. And then there've been some other book clubs that we've done too. Those are usually the last week of the month. Yeah. And all the books are 15% off in the store.
And can they feel free to kind of jump in and come?
Absolutely,
to
yeah.
like each month,
yeah.
like whatever
There's
month
no,
they like?
There's no, people often ask about like the requirements and if they have to sign up and worried about missing dates. And it's really, you know,
it's informal.
Yeah, it's very
like.
Informal. I mean, there is.
It's friendly.
It's friendly, yeah. The structure of the events is pretty formal. Depending on size, we might have sort of like little breakouts to answer certain questions. But the discussion is organized. But the requirements, you know, like if you have to miss it, we're not going to like ask for our 15% back or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah, so. Or that you won't, your card won't be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We have to see you at the next two book clubs.
There's no attendance taking, so no worries there. Yeah.
And so do each and other people, like who runs the feminist one?
Gina, our one of our booksellers and floor managers, Gina Balabera, who's also an alum of the MFA program in fiction, is running the feminist book club. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the other ones. We've had an educators book club. Some months we'll have as many as four, but the literati and the feminist and the poetry are the sort of the mainstays.
The mainstays. Yeah. It sounds like maybe if you've got an idea for a book club too, you might pitch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it depends on the sustainability and space.
Yeah, the space.
I take that back.
No. We're open to that. We're always trying to think, and that's why we've rotated other ones in and just sort of seen what works. And sometimes there are book clubs that we stock books for too, like in the community as well, because our space is when it's not a cafe space, it's our event space, and it's a community space as well. But it's great to have it be in demand, but I wish we had three more floors of the same space, because we could do all the things that we could meet demand.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, who took over the key shop, the old key shop? Well, anyway, let's take a short break and we'll come back.
Yeah.
Today on Living Writers, John Ganyard is here from Literati Bookstore. I'm T. Hetzel. We'll take a short break and be back. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, I'm so glad you did. You've got Living Writers. I'm T. Hetzel. Today on the program, John Ganyard is here in the studio. We're talking about Literati Bookstore and poems and
books
and books and we're gonna talk about Mary Oliver coming up too. But not just yet. Let's talk a little bit more about you at Literati and you actually you came here for the MFA program.
I did come back to Ann Arbor to get an MFA, which I did do. So I guess people say, you know, that I write, people know me through that and ask about my writing. It's always weird to sort of reset my mind because it's been great to use that background in the position, but my focus on like building up this great events program for Literati and the kind of writing that I was able to do through introducing authors and stuff like that kind of eclipsed my own work. And then I just sort of had the classic thing that happens to, I think, especially poets, where some of those writing muscles atrophy or your direction changes or...
It sounds like you're building a lot of other writing muscles and
headspace. Yeah, I'm keeping those calluses formed, certainly. I think that the MFA has served me well in having this position be like a liaison to the community and getting to use my writing to talk about other books, I think is fun. I don't know, like when I was, I always, like when I would go to plays as a teenager and young adult, like seeing... I was always really fascinated by like the smaller roles that sort of like make this kind of believable edifice possible. And I think of those are the community positions I value. Like I like this events program having its own life and being kind of like, being one of the folks who's sort of like ancillary to it is great because it can sort of, you get to see it like live on its own a little bit. And so using my writing in that way is enjoyable.
And it was sort of this unexpected thing in a way, what it grew into.
Yeah.
And when you have something you believe in, which I would say like Literati Bookstore is a place and an idea that you believe in.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of what you have to give perhaps.
Yeah.
But in a good, I mean,
no, in
not,
a good,
not
no,
not,
yeah, not, not all in a bad way.
In
no,
an
it's
interesting and
yeah,
developed, it's, developing way.
I think everyone at the store is thinking about the store all the time. And it just has that way of sort of creeping into your life like that because there are so many things that can always be improved. And I think we're all super, like all of us on staff are very, unsatisfied constantly by like the realm of the possible, and so we're always trying to improve things and make things work better and click better and catch the right audiences and reach the right readers, and that we're pretty single-minded in that pursuit. And so we're also all just very, you know, we're also excited by the possibility of what a bookstore can be, and so that keeps changing as we grow. It keeps growing. We're expanding what a brick and mortar bookstore is capable of doing, and it's exciting. So yeah, it takes up a lot of space in one's mind, but it's good to have that be your work, I guess.
Yeah, it's you've got a mission. And
yeah,
you're part of something.
Yeah.
That's larger and adding to the community, not only this community here in Ann Arbor, but also like the national like independent bookstore community.
Yeah, that's weird to think about, but it's true. Yeah,
keep it, because those are real places, but it's also a like a shining idea too about what we value.
Yeah.
And
And the ABA keeps track of the amount of indies that are opening and closing, et cetera. You know, by registration of who's part of the trade organization and. After sort of a really severe nadir, I think that the sort of bottom of how many independent bookstores were open in this country since they began tracking that shortly after the housing crisis in 2008, there are now more bookstores open, indie bookstores open, than there ever have been. Something like 20, more than 2,500 maybe.
They're saying since they started tracking bookstores,
there was a severe peak in 2008. And that, I mean, there was a lot of reasons. There's a housing crisis. There's sort of this wave of death across the retail landscape around that time. And a lot of like local retail was hit especially hard in those shifts. But now there's independent bookstores all over the country, more than there have ever been, and there are, a lot of them are doing really well.
Thanks for the good news, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great
news. Of course.
So what are some of the books that everyone's excited about this winter that are on the shelves at Literati or upcoming books? What are some picks?
So we're all, I mean, we just did an event with Kristen Rapinian, who wrote You Know You Want This, Cat Person and Other Stories. The Cat Person was maybe like the only viral short story in history of short stories, maybe.
And also from the MFA program.
And
that's Helen Zell.
Yeah, and we that event was amazing, and that book is I think three or four people on staff pick. I have this weird book as my staff pick right now that came out late last year, but it still counts. We're allowed to pick from wherever, but like I try to be pretty recent about it. But maybe a good winter read by Galen Strawson, who's a philosopher. It's a collection of, it's like short, very strange philosophical essays called Things That Bother Me. And he's an analytic philosopher, so that's known as being kind of dry and having this weird vocabulary. But he writes about the self and death and panpsychism, which is this harebrained idea that consciousness is just an arrangement of matter, so all physical objects are conscious. Or in some non-trivial way, I think I'm probably mischaracterizing this position.
Do you mean like trees, teddy bears, teacups?
Just that matter is consciousness is an arrangement of matter. So there's not some sort of epiphenomenal thing happening on top of that. It's like a materialist view, I guess. And so, but it has to have. If that's the case, then I'm sure if there's philosophy professors who are listening to this at the university, they're probably like waving their hands.
They're not driving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But eventually, I think it's that, you know, if consciousness is just material, like an arrangement of matter, then all arrangements of matter must have some sort of consciousness or something like that.
And that's Things That Bother Me?
Things That Bother Me.
And who wrote that?
Galen Strawson is his name. G-A-L-E-N Strawson. The essay that I love, though, that I think is worth the price of admission is called The Fallacy of Our Age, which is about the phenomenon of narrativity and storytelling in like pop psychology and also like literary theory. So he talks about like how he doesn't buy into this idea that our lives are a story or that it's ethically productive to think of our lives as like a story we're telling ourselves. And
why? Or do you don't want to give it away?
No, I can give a little tease. I think he says he doesn't experience his life this way. So he thinks it's false that we experience our lives as a story. And he points to really interesting literary examples of folks who he says are transients. So he thinks there's these two sort of poles in this spectrum. And there are the endurers who view their lives as a story that's being told or a narrative that can be apprehended. And then there are transients who sort of kind of don't really feel much psychological recognition with past memories or events, and they know that they can connect them to themselves. But the other interesting thing is I think is this argument that it's not ethically necessary for us to think of our lives as a story, which is kind of has some certain repercussions that I think are fascinating to ponder. And it's also just I'd studied philosophy as an undergrad and I had sort of abandoned it completely, and it's very digestible and fun to read, and a good way to return to that. Yeah.
What about the notes on from a public typewriter?
Well, that's our book, our store book, which is now, I think, it was just nominated or named a Michigan Notable Book, excuse me. So we won an award. Our bookstore's book won an award.
Woo.
And it's a Michigan Notable Book. Yeah. And that's really exciting. And it's a collection of our notes that folks wrote on our public typewriter, which is this project that's been sort of long germinating and has grown into the need for a book, and people are begging us to do another book. But we set up this typewriter downstairs and people could write on it, and then we started putting the interesting things that people said on that typewriter on our wall next to the typewriter, and then we started putting them on Facebook and on Twitter, and people really responded to it because it became this sort of anonymous bulletin board, but an emotional bulletin board. Less of like people being like, check out my SoundCloud, and more like people being like, you know, writing really powerful stuff about losing loved ones, or, you know, like putting down their pet that day, or like breaking up. I'm giving all these immiserating examples, but also
the
just
whole
like,
book is just
no. A lot of them
tragic.
Are like people who are like, my first date is here, and now I'm going to get married to that person and the love of my life, or just like reminders of how bookstores are important to them in tumultuous social and political times, and and so we have this collection that was put out by Grand Central Publishing. That's a little sort of small gift book of Mike's favorite examples of those, and it was put together and designed by Oliver Uberti, who's a wonderful designer who's also done work with National Geographic. We've done a few events for it. Mike was at Ford to talk about it. Ford invited him to speak in front of its employees to talk about Notes from a Public Typewriter. He brought a public typewriter there that people could write about, and then people wrote about things that they wanted to see changed at the corporate structure at Ford, or like the sort of corporate culture, because they sort of felt, you know, emboldened by that sort of anonymity.
So did he bring a typewriter and leave it there?
Yeah. Okay. And then people wrote really fascinating stuff about their positive experiences working there, and their the things that they want to see improved about the corporate culture at Ford. And
it's something about a typewriter that seems so old-fashioned and ancient, but it's connecting to something that's real human.
Well, it's the thing that we've tried to facsimilate in like through like, you know, how your iPhone makes a tapping noise because it doesn't have any tactile response. And so people just get really jazzed about the fact that they're literally like producing a thing, like a physical object. It has a strong correlation to what our bookstore is, which is selling physical books. And so you're kind of doing it's, I think Mike calls it the world's smallest publisher or something like that.
Let's take a short break. And then when we come back, we'll talk more with John Ganyard from Literati Bookstore. I'm T. Hetzel. You've got Living Writers. We'll be back.
Jubilation dream, and you're sorry about the load, feeling sorry about the load. Looking pretty at the wall is my mistake.
Welcome back. You've got Living Writers. I'm T. Hetzel today. John Ganyard of Literati Bookstore is here, event manager extraordinaire and poet and pop, pal of the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, that's the acronym. Okay. That's good to know. I'll file that away.
That really, it's been so great hearing about Literati and what's mm-hmm. happening right now. And I know we have a few more book picks mm-hmm, by mm-hmm, the end mm-hmm. of the hour, mm-hmm. John. But what we were also talking about when we all came in today, and we all have a poem. Mary Oliver, the poet, she just died over the weekend.
Yeah.
Maybe Friday. I don't know. Maybe a Thursday. Anyway, the date doesn't matter.
Winter is makes time strange.
Winter is sort of twisting time a bit. But Mary Oliver is gone at 83. And she's a poet that she's left so many beautiful poems and books about writing and about making such a legacy. We've got a few poems to read today so everyone can hear her voice. And if you haven't checked out her poems, often people say they're some of the most accessible poems out there. In fact, a lot of there's been the critical glare, but the public has loved Mary Oliver for years. And it's because people can connect to her work, I think. So many people.
And poets of every stripe love Mary Oliver. So the thing that I was saying before we went on too is that and the poem that I'll read is a poem that I knew was a Mary Oliver poem but forgot was a Mary Oliver poem until she died and I saw it all over again and I was like, oh yeah, that's a Mary Oliver poem. And so that's sort of, I think, a hallmark of how she is kind of just omnipresent, or her work is just always there in American literary consciousness, and it doesn't belie her lyricism either. So yeah, I can go ahead and read the poem I was talking about that I saw a lot of and was happy to again. It's called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese high in the clean blue air are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over announcing your place in the family of things.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for choosing that Mary Oliver poem, John. Yeah. That's
absolutely.
Hey, Steph, what did you bring?
Hi, T. I brought a poem called Praying. Praying. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak.
Thanks, Steph.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so I've got Mary Oliver's book Dreamwork that my friend Kristen gave to me way back in 1991. And this was my first book of poems that I ever owned that was my own book of poems. So, yeah, Dreamwork. Okay. At Loxahatchee. All day the alligators lumbered into and out of the water. Herons stood in the trees, combing their white shoulders. Vultures, floating just under the clouds, were in no hurry. Sooner or later, the mysterious circles always closed. I had dreamed of such a place, but this was my first visit to the thick parks and the state of mind called Florida. Streams wandered everywhere among the dense mangroves. At one, I paused to drink, and inside me, the water whispered, "And now, like us, you are a million years old." But at the same time, the enormous and waxy flowers of the shrubs around me, whose names I did not know, were nodding in the wind and sighing, "Be born!" And I knew, whatever my place in this garden, it was not to be what I had always been, the gardener. Everywhere the reptiles thrashed, while birds exploded into heavenly hymns of rough song, and the vultures drifted like black angels, and clearly nothing needed to be saved.
That's great.
So here's to you, Mary Oliver.
Yeah.
We miss you, and thanks for all your words and poems.
Yeah.
So let's see. We've got some time left together. And to talk more about poems and literati and books that are coming.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, everyone, for reading Mary Oliver. And definitely check out her, because they're such, most of them are these poems that feel don't know, like there's joy in them.
Yeah, and they're I don't know. They've always people come to the store looking for Mary Oliver in all sorts of moods, I guess. So if that's a recommendation for her, and yeah, I don't know if I'm repeating myself, but their accessibility I don't think belies their lyricism. If you're after that too, so that's yeah, it was truly the kind of. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Just like a quintessentially American poet and being able to sort of capture all these things. That's a really hard thing to do. And I don't think she was trying to do it. I think she was just writing poems.
She's kind of being and yeah. kind of reckoning with the mystery
yeah.
in a
yeah.
lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to.
Yeah.
So other books that folks might wander into Literati bookstore to see or find.
Yeah, I have three ideas for upcoming books to be on the lookout for that one of which doesn't even come out until October. So I'm looking way, way, way ahead, but good to keep things on your radar, I suppose. And two of them are maybe a bit unbiased or something because they're graduates of the MFA program. So
maybe just a touch.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
But they're also going to, you know, let me be the first to say that they will be nationally renowned books. I'm serious. I think they almost certainly will be. The first, the poet Gala Makhmovova, sorry, I always screw this up. Gala Makhmovova, was, I think, the year behind me in poetry or something. She has a collection of poetry coming out in April, on April 9th, from Coffee House Press called Without Protection. I'm really excited for
what
this.
What a great title.
Yeah, Gala writes about astrology also for Nylon, and so I'm sure there's no shortage of folks who have read her there being, almost eerily prescient about our own lives. But her work is personal, it's historical, it's political. If you enjoy really great poetry in that respect, then be on the lookout for Gala's book in April. And then in August, Gia Tolentino, who folks may know as a writer for NewYorker.com, has a collection of essays coming out called Trick Mirror. I'm very excited about that. Gia's writing about culture and about politics at The New Yorker has been really awesome and consistently so, and kind of captures, like all good writing does, certain sort of hard to capture ideas and emotions in writing. So that's always great to encounter. And then the last one is just something that I personally want to pitch to people to be on the lookout for. The poet and novelist Ben Lerner has a novel coming out in October, sometime in October, called The Topeka School. And I was able to read an advanced copy of it, and I was blown away by it. He previously is known for the Leaving the Atosha Station and 1004, two novels about a character named Adam Gordon. This novel is also about a character named Adam Gordon. It's also maybe just Ben Lerner.
oh, spoiler alert, too late.
No,
oh, well.
I mean, I think there's an interesting fictional memoir kind of constructions going on. I mean, it's fictional because he's mining this stuff, I think, personally, and deploying it in this specific way that can only be countenanced as a novel because it's not factually accurate, say. But that all aside, there are these really, both those previous novels are really riveting, and this one is, I think, traces a lot of interesting through lines to the present political moment that were unexpected for me, especially if you're interested in the National Forensics League and did that in high school.
And that's Ben Lerner's book.
Yeah, The Topeka School in October.
Well, John, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Tia. This was a blast.
It's so fun to talk with you. You have to come back.
I would love to.
Thanks for telling us about a little bit about yourself too.
That was
lovely.
Yeah.
To hear and know, and for about upcoming events
yes.
at Literati Bookstore, books to keep an eye out for, things that yeah, just the great world of books
yes.
and the community space of Literati Bookstore in town. So thanks to John Ganyard for being here today. Thanks to Stephanie Carpenter, the engineer. Thanks to Frank Yuli for post-production. You can check out Living Writers, the website, and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks also, John and Stephanie, for remembering Mary Oliver with me today. And hope everyone be safe out there in the ice. Thanks for listening. I'm T. Hetzel. Until next time.